Please lower your head and watch your step while boarding.
Welcome to the Attractions Podcast. You are all clear for dispatch. Have fun.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 83 of the Attractions Podcast. I'm Brittany.
And I'm Seth.
And we're here to talk to you about the latest and greatest in theme park news and more, as well as what's going on in our own lives. Seth, other than our very great Marvel talk, which you could hear if you were here for the live show.
That's why you tuned in for the live show.
How have you been?
I have been great. Thank you so much for asking. It has been a nice low-key week of playing with the kittens. Made a quick visit to Animal Kingdom and got to ride Flight of Passage twice in like a half hour wait each time, which is great.
That's awesome.
And caught up with an old friend who made it down from New Jersey, escaped the Northeast, and got to had some dinner at City Walk with him. So that was great.
Nice.
How was your week?
My week has also been pretty low key. I've been doing a lot of reading.
Nice.
A leftover from when Josh was out of town.
Fiction or nonfiction?
Nonfiction, actually. Lots of I don't want to call them self-help books because that has a negative connotation, but self-help books. I also started a gaming classic. I finally got my hands on a copy of Ocarina of Time 3D, which I've never played before.
And what platform is that on?
3DS. The little handheld. And
The pre-Switch.
The
proto-Switch.
Yeah. And it shockingly holds up still. It feels so ahead of its time.
Nice.
I'd never had a 64 or anything, so
I was going to say, I'm old enough
that.
To remember Ocarina of Time on my Nintendo 64. So.
And eagle-eyed viewers back there will see my classic game shelf that has Ocarina down on the bottom. But this one has some updated character models and things. But it's so much fun. I wasn't expecting it to, I guess I should have, hold up as well as it has. I was a PlayStation household, so we had the PS1 and PS2 and none of the Nintendo home consoles.
My gaming guilty pleasure this week has been I finally finished the story mode of Injustice 2.
Ooh.
Which is if the DC superheroes were stuck in a Mortal Kombat game. And it's just silly and ridiculous, but the story mode is actually a pretty good DC animated feature. It's maybe better than some of the actual animated features that they've done.
That doesn't sound too bad. I've also been doing going through the Uncharted series. I'm this close to finishing Among Thieves, but
good luck.
Yeah, well, that's been our gaming update for you.
Thank you. All right, we didn't come here to talk about theme parks, did we?
No, we're just here to talk about games.
Yeah,
and some theme park news in the queue. Haha, you didn't get to see the dancing.
It's a little flashback to my 90s rave days.
Whoa, 90s rave days? I can only imagine the neon. Over at Disney Springs, a limited time pop-up shop themed to all things Disney Cruise Line has appeared in the Marketplace Co-op.
I think they did this just to kill me because I've been missing Disney cruises so much. Cruising in general, but Disney cruises specifically. I feel like the Disney magic is my home because I've spent more than a month of my life on it.
Whoa.
So this is for those of you in the Orlando area who have been really feeling that hurt of that, DCL addiction. This is where you can at least, you can pretend you went on a cruise,
Yeah.
You can buy all the gear, buy all the swag, and then tell people that you were on a cruise.
And I watched a vlog earlier specifically about this pop-up opening, and it seems like a lot of stuff is already gone. Specifically,
not surprised. I'm sure you can find it on eBay.
The Loungefly backpacks seem to be the hot ticket item. This one right here.
Those are always popular, and that's a pretty nice looking backpack, so I'm not surprised.
Yeah, the luggage is also really cute, too. I love this, like, vintage leather accent thing. But they have matching family outfits, if family vacation gear is your thing, as well as the classic and ever-needed spirit jersey, rash guards, hats, all that jazz.
So you got to buy up all this stuff and, like, redecorate your bedroom as a cabin on the cruise line and just spend the whole day at your house. Say it's like a day at sea.
But except
maybe do some napkin folding.
Maybe put up like a wall of 2x4s just to make it a little bit smaller. But they haven't said a specific end date, but I would assume all of this stuff will be here while supplies last.
Yep. And knowing the way this stuff ends up on the secondary market, it might not be too long, so
nope,
get there while you can.
But you can also get a very delicious strawberry daiquiri or pina colada over at Dockside Margaritas in the Disney Cruise Line embarkation glasses.
Yes,
unless sure, those are gone.
I'm sure it doesn't taste as good without the sail away party. They should have some characters come out and do the embark, or at least, you know, do a muster drill, you know, make us all line up and, I don't know, talk about life jackets.
That's what you should do. Do like a flash mob muster drill at Disney Springs. Over at Disneyland, the Haunted Mansion has been undergoing some renovations and has seen the return of one of the iconic paintings that has been missing for a while, as well as some other new additions, which I think is really cool that they're adding stuff in.
Yeah, this is the portrait of a girl who changes into an old woman, and I don't think it's been so long. I don't think I've ever seen that inside Disneyland's Haunted Mansion. But the part that I'm really excited about is new additions to the pet cemetery. That's always been one of my favorite bits of the Disneyland queue. And they have a smaller pet cemetery as you exit the one in Orlando, but it's not quite the same. And so they're adding some new little tributes to pets long gone but not forgotten to the queue. So keep an eye out for those, including there's going to be a cat with a glowing red eye. And if you're into the history of the Haunted Mansion and all the various things that were cut out, you know, during the development process, this is one of those ideas of Ex Atencio, who's responsible for the song Grinning Ghosts. And this is kind of a tribute to an idea that he had that never actually made it into the ride.
Yes, all of this, well, at least the April to December portrait and the stone cat is on the way to boarding the Doom Buggies, where the queue kind of rounds out and you turn the corner. They've made up for all of that kind of unused space with this new addition, which I think is really, really cool. Also, the plants in the pet cemetery, there's one that smells like garlic around a tomb for a skunk.
Lovely. I think it's interesting that a recent article in a newspaper confirmed that Disney says they're not making changes to the hanging scene in the in the foyer at this time, but they do recognize that there's some issues with that scene, and we don't know about any other changes that may be happening within the ride itself. I know I've heard some speculation that there might be changes coming to the Hitchhiking Ghosts at the end, but no official word on that right now.
Yeah. It is, if you think about it, it's kind of messed up at a Disney park, but that's neither here nor there in a discussion for another day. This one I thought you would be excited about. Scream and Stream is returning with its drive-through haunt this year.
Yes. So these guys were at Boggy Creek Adventures, which is way down south in Kissimmee. It's kind of a drive from the tourist area, but I thought this one was really worth it. I checked it out along with some of the rest of the attractions crew. And it was a drive-through haunted experience. And they're coming back with one of my favorite folks who lost their job at Universal. Patrick Brow, you're responsible for a lot of great stuff over the years at Halloween Horror Nights. And he did a haunt with Kim Grommel over on iDrive this past year. And so now he's teaming up with the Scream and Stream guys. They're already having a preview for some media at the end of the month.
Ooh.
So hopefully the end of April, I'm going to get a little bit more information about what's happening with this. Just to be clear, there was another haunted drive-through experience called the Haunted Road in Orlando last year that was somewhat controversial. This was not that group, totally separate group of people. I know there was some confusion over that.
Yeah. I can't wait to pick your brain about that if you get to see that little sneak peek.
Yeah.
We don't know anything about what the theme is for this year or anything, but should, I guess, hear very soon. Over at Dollywood in Pigeon Forge, they have recently updated their COVID-19 health policies, where guests are no longer required to wear face masks in outdoor spaced areas.
Yeah. They're not the only theme park with a policy like this. So we should make it clear. Legoland in Florida does not require wearing a face mask in outdoor areas, only on indoor areas. And like them, Legoland, anywhere that you cannot socially distance, anywhere you cannot be more than 6 feet apart from people, you will still have to wear the masks. And employees will all wear masks at all times still. But, you know, I have a feeling like whatever we possibly say about this is going to get someone annoyed.
Yep.
So let's just say that, you know, this is probably not going to be the last report we're going to do about pandemic restrictions being eased. The pandemic is not over, according to all of the statistics. And in fact, in some places, you know, by the numbers, it might be getting worse. Even as the vaccine is rolling out, I get my second vaccine on Tuesday.
So yay!
I plan on sleeping all day Wednesday.
I still haven't grown any extra limbs
nope,
or horns.
No third eye yet. The 5G hasn't kicked in. No.
I see. I'm still waiting on that one.
Yeah. I want better cell reception if out of all this, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, Dolly isn't going to be. I personally, you know, I was a little surprised that they were, you know, kind of leading the way on this when Dolly Parton herself, you know, contributed like $1 million out of her own pocket to help fund the research that became the Moderna vaccine. So, you know, if anyone knows how important, you know, us all sticking together and getting out of this together, it's Dolly. But they're also no longer going to take your temperature at the entrance. So I would just say that if you do go to Dollywood, you know, follow your precautions and wash your hands and have a good, clean, safe time.
Yes. Knott's Berry Farm has finally joined the ranks of California parks to set a reopening date and has set the latest one so far with May 21st.
A little bit surprising considering that they have been doing food events, you know, all along. They've almost had a head start on everyone else and moving crowds through and operating. Maybe they've just decided that they're making so much money off these food events. Why bother riding the rides? But I'm excited for everyone who gets to finally see the return of Berry Tales.
Yeah.
Classic Knott's Dark Ride that's been gone for many, many years, revived in a new shooting interactive game format. So a lot of good buzz about that. And I'm excited, hopefully, to get out to California this summer and check that out.
Yeah, fingers crossed that we'll be allowed.
Well, we can talk a little bit later, but I heard some news tonight that I've not gotten 100% confirmed yet, but it's positive. So,
ooh, I'm excited. Knott's will also be celebrating their 100th anniversary when it reopens in May. That was it was supposed to be last year, and then everything kind of happened with COVID and they had to cancel it or postpone the celebration. Similar with Cedar Point, I think also had an anniversary last year and they've moved it to this year. So if that is your bag, Not Summer Nights will be back, and they'll also have photo ops, a special lighting moment with the K Tower, as well as decorations throughout the park, and homages to the park's history, which is incredible and very long. It's been around forever.
Oh yeah, I mean it predates Disneyland. Everyone thinks as Disneyland is the first theme park, but in a lot of ways, Knott's is what created that idea and helped inspire Walt. I think the really interesting thing is the incredibly cheap prices that Knott's has on season passes and annual passes right now. They are going hard after the Southern California market that lost their Disneyland annual passes and needs a new theme park to go to. My only fear is that they might get a little greedy with all this flood of money coming in and sell more than they can accommodate. Because what's great about Knott's is that it's not Disneyland. It's still intimate. It's kind of old-fashioned. We think of Disneyland as being intimate compared to Walt Disney World, but Knott's is even, more so. I don't want it to get totally destroyed by crowds while Disneyland sits empty with their park pass reservation system. I don't think that'll happen, but stranger things have happened, so we're just gonna have to see. I think the whole tourism industry in Southern California, once people come out of doors in that region, this is going to be a crazy summer.
Oh yeah, and if you happen to have a 2020 season pass, it's still good until next year.
Yeah, very generous of them.
Very generous. So can't wait for that to reopen. And I want to see more of Knott's Berry Tales, because they only showed this same photo with and without masks in the media kit. Yeah. And I want to see what else is in there. Over at Legoland Florida Resort, they've opened this cool new interactive build experience called Planet Legoland.
Yeah, so there's like a giant globe made out of Legos with different continents, and each continent is themed to, like a different Lego brand or a different Lego universe, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so you can pick which one you like, build a little structure or toy, and then after that is properly sanitized and quarantined, it's added to the sculpture. So you get to participate in something that other Legoland guests can see.
Yeah, and the globe is also 6 feet in diameter, so everyone can be appropriately distanced while they're placing things on the globe, which I thought was funny. Also, this is supposed to be a castle, but when I first saw it, I thought it was Tower of Terror, and I was like, did Banksley build this?
It's got a kind of pink roof. It looks a little bit like the Japanese Tower of Terror with pink accent.
Oh, yeah. But this is so neat. I love this idea. I love Legoland's push for creativity with its experiences. And also, everything is sanitized after everyone leaves, so no worries about that. But it looks really fun. It seems like a great way to kind of get inside and cool down after the various rides you've been on all day if it's hot, and let the kids just hang out and build things.
This opened up on the 15th with a preview event, and if you don't happen to be near Legoland Florida, this is also going on at several other Legoland locations around the world.
Those include Legoland Billund, Legoland California, Legoland Deutschland, Japan, Malaysia, and Windsor. So if that is nearby you, definitely check it out. Mm-hmm. Over at Busch Gardens Tampa, we've hit a major milestone as far as theme park entertainment goes, with live indoor entertainment returning to the park on May 28th.
Yay! We've got both a returning award-winning favorite and a brand new show. The returning one is Turn It Up, which is an indoor ice skating show. And the new one is a new Cirque style show called Cirque Electric.
I love Cirque shows, so I can't wait to see footage of that one.
Yeah, and with the Cirque du Soleil still shut down at Walt Disney World, this is pretty much your only chance to see a Cirque style show in the Central Florida area right now.
The Cirque show features aerialist routines, feats of strength and balance, and thrilling acts on wheels, which that makes me think of the show Ka at in Las Vegas at the Grand with the big wheel stunt. Have you seen that before?
Oh yes, the like
Yes.
the giant German wheels. Yeah.
Yes, I'm sure it's not
Very
that
impressive.
extreme, but that's what it makes me
Well,
think of.
we do have a press photo of a couple performers on roller skates who are
Hey.
doing a spinning routine with involving a rope and a very small platform that looks like it could be very dangerous for anyone sitting in the front row if it went badly.
As
Not to
someone
mention the performers.
who is attempting to learn how to roller skate, another one of my quarantine hobbies, that's not easy.
No, not at all.
Not at all. And as for health and safety protocols during these indoor entertainment offerings, limited capacity, of course. Entry and exit from the theater will be staggered to avoid crowding and bottlenecking. Face coverings are mandatory for all guests and employees and performers at all times, though this picture does not reflect that. As well as hand sanitizer at the entry and exit points, and all seats sanitized in between shows, and no food or drink during the show either.
I will say, generally at Busch Gardens Tampa, the shows are one of those things that you can slip into just before showtime. But I think these are going to be real popular, and especially with social distancing, you're going to want to check the show times and show up at least 15 minutes or more beforehand if you want to get a seat.
Yeah, but can't wait for that. It's a good sign. Another good sign for you high schoolers and middle schoolers out there, if you listen to this podcast, Grad Bash is coming back to Universal Orlando in 2022.
Yeah, which is also confirmation that it's not happening in 2021.
Right.
Obviously, it was getting a little late. Normally, this starts in early April, and it was a little late in the season for them to suddenly start scheduling them. So, unfortunately, that's two graduating classes in a row that are going to miss out on this tradition that's been going on for decades. But at least in 2022, there will be a Grad Bash in April on four select days, and Grad Venture on three select nights in May. And the difference between that is that Grad Bash is for high school students, and Grad Venture is for middle school students.
And they will have access to both parks, but they didn't say which attractions, because the first thing I thought was, is Hagrid's going to be open? Hagrid's
I would say
or.
Hagrid's probably the question. Hopefully by then VelociCoaster will also be part of it.
Right? Well, we haven't.
Typically they have all the e-tickets, but keep in mind I did go to this a couple of years ago, and it's a long night. And some of those attractions, especially I remember Gringotts shutting down a little after midnight because they have to do maintenance on some of them.
Oh yeah.
But they do really, they've got like over 50 attractions or something crazy like that. And it's pretty much the majority of the park that they have access to. And if you ever get a chance to do this as a chaperone, go for it, because the chaperones are treated like gold. They get express passes
Ooh.
if they want to go on the rides, and if they don't want to go on the rides, they get these private lounges with free food and drink to hang out with, non-alcoholic drink, obviously, because you're chaperoning. But it's a pretty cool way to spend the evening in the park.
Huh. Yeah. My high school, I went to high school in Virginia, so we didn't get to do Grad Bash or anything like that. And I was always kind of jealous, but chaperoning doesn't sound that bad either. And some exciting news, Universal Studios Hollywood finally reopened with rides to guests this past
Yay.
weekend. Hooray!
Yeah, they were doing the Touch of Universal event, a food event, and they had actually thrown in as a surprise bonus a couple attractions with that. But now, you know, not the whole park is open, but a good portion of the park. You know, the studio tour, which is the heart and soul of that park, is back and operating again. And I even heard that there's been some upgrades to the projectors in the King Kong 360 scene, has made that look a little bit better. The only show that's operating right now, I think, is Animal Actors, but hopeful that Waterworld is going to come back soon. And of course, you know, Forbidden Journey is running, Transformers is running, and most importantly, both Jurassic World and the new Secret Life of Pets Dark Ride are operating for guests.
Yes, fabulous. Two new rides to reopen with.
Yeah. If you haven't, you know, if you haven't spoiled yourself yet and you're not going to get a chance to ride them in person soon, go ahead on our YouTube channel and check out those ride-through videos, because this is really, you know, a lot of people, including myself, were slightly underwhelmed by Jurassic World when it first reopened, you know, before the pandemic. And this is what they should have opened from the start. If they had just opened it like this, we would all been very happy. And Secret Life of Pets is the kind of ride that Disney used to build and should be building now. And it's just so adorable. I want to go and ride it over and over.
I wonder if they would ever do like a backstage tour similar to Men in Black, but you just get to pet everyone.
Oh.
Universal, if you're listening, that's a free idea. You can have it as long as you let me do it first. And we blew through the news in the queue this week. What is going
That was
on? Yeah, I guess that makes up for how long last week was.
I know. I was going to say, you could just take it off of last week's show, tack it on
Right.
here.
But without any further ado, I guess it's time we get to the main attraction.
Ding, ding, ding.
It's time for the main attraction.
And this week, literally brought some people to tears. If you look at our comment section, the Disney look has been updated and brought at least to the early 21st century.
Yeah, kicked and dragged out of the 1900s, the early 1900s, into something vaguely resembling our modern society, which is I think refreshing.
Yeah, I was really surprised, but
Just in case you don't know what the quote unquote Disney look is, this is Disney from the very beginning has had like an employee handbook, a standards guide, that's traditionally been very strict as to what its employees, especially its on-stage cast members, are allowed to look like. And this has gone down to, you know, hairstyles, color of your nails, you know, a lot of things that kind of were in line with very 1950s cultural standards, and has been updated gradually over the years. But this is kind of the most dramatic and also most publicly discussed update
Yeah.
to the Disney look that I think has ever happened. And I think for a lot of people who are the actual employees, who this directly affects their lives, I think a lot of them are saying that this has been long overdue and very welcome.
I remember seeing pictures on Twitter the day after that this was announced, where a woman that was working Main Street Ops had her tattoos showing, and she looked so happy, and she wasn't wearing the long sleeves that they make you wear to cover them up. It just, and they weren't like offensive tattoos or anything. It was just like nice.
There's been a lot of misinformation going around. I think a lot of people who have been maybe, surprise, surprise, commenting on social media without actually reading what the new guidelines say.
Right.
This does not mean there's a free-for-all. It does not mean Disney does not have any standards anymore. It does not mean that you can come in with a the Hangover style tattoo all over your face, or that you can have a giant ring pierced through your cheek, or you know, all manner of things that, you know, rainbow hair. There are still things like, you know, you have to have hair that could be occurring in nature.
Yes.
That, you know, if you have a tattoo, it number one, cannot have offensive words and offensive images in it, just like you can't go around wearing a t-shirt with offensive words and offensive images. And it's got to be smaller than the size of your hand.
Yeah.
So, you know, you can't have, you know, it's not going to be people with full sleeves on both arms necessarily.
Though I have seen people with, I'm using mine as an example.
Mm-hmm.
Mine barely makes it, but I've seen people with like this big of a tattoo. I'm pointing to my forearm for those of you listening to the audio, but then they would have another tattoo here and another one here. So it's, their arm is covered, but it's not sleeved, if that makes sense, right. That I've seen people get away with.
Yeah, I think there has to be a certain amount of bare skin around it. But, and I would honestly, I hate to be the HR supervisor who's now got to go around deciding whether your tattoo is big enough, but you know, it's better that than them just having these kind of blanket things that don't take into account people's culture or people's background. And it was really hard, especially on people of color, who sometimes they're, you know, culturally appropriate hairstyles and other things were being told that, you know, that's not the Disney look.
Yeah.
And so I'm glad that the Disney look is a little more open-minded now.
Yeah. As far as specifics go, tattoos are now permitted so long as they do not exceed the size of your hand with your fingers put together and fully extended, except you can't have any showing on your face, your head, or your neck. Mm-hmm. But they did not say that you weren't allowed to have them on your hands, because I specifically, during my CP, I knew someone who had their hands tattooed and would have to put dermal blend on their hands and fingers every day to go to work. And the rules don't say that they can't anymore.
I believe another big change is that these rules are now all gender neutral.
Yes.
In my understanding. So you can't have one rule that applies to males. It's a rule is a rule, whether you're male or female.
Yes. And Drew in the chat brought this up very conveniently for us to talk about. So yes, this means that male cast members can have long hair if they choose to, so long as it is naturally occurring in color.
And if we want to start complaining, saying what would Walt say about all these long-haired hippies working in his theme park?
Oh my God.
Let's just keep in mind that Walt was willing to bend his own rules. When he decided that an employee was valuable enough, he would flout his own rules. Walt himself wore a mustache that he would not have worn his other employees. So, you know, what would Walt do is not necessarily always the best guideline. You know, things have changed since the 1950s and 1960s, and you know, Disney's got to change along with it.
Yeah. Another major thing is that gender designation on costumes has been eliminated, and now cast members can choose the costume for their area that best suits their personal gender expression. Which I think is great. And they've also said that they're working on a third gender inclusive option that isn't necessarily the strictly masculine pants option, or like in the Pirates League, for example, we wore skirts, peasant tops, and corset belts. Now there's going to be a third in the middle.
I think it should involve culottes. Everyone should wear culottes.
But I think this is great.
Or capri pants.
Capri pants or Bermuda shorts.
You don't want to see my knees, really.
Ugly knees.
No one of any gender needs to see my knees.
I think it's great and definitely long overdue. Our society is constantly evolving and people are constantly evolving. They don't always necessarily fit into the boxes of male or female, and they shouldn't have to stifle themselves to work at Disney.
And let's be really frank. You know, Disney, we have issues here in Orlando with people working full time at the theme parks and still barely making ends meet. Frontline employees at Disney are not doing that job because they're getting rich at it. And With the pandemic ending and unemployment numbers starting to go down, there's going to be competition for jobs, for workers. Companies like Disney need to be more inclusive if they're going to get people to come back out and apply for jobs and work, especially at the rates that they're paying. So this is not just about, social progress and inclusion. This is also a business decision.
Yeah. And this also, just so you don't worry about Cinderella having tattoos or eyebrow rings or whatever. First of all, facial piercings are not a part of these rules.
Right.
So you're not going to see them.
Right. And characters are still characters. They are still cast. So that, they still will be dressed the same. They will still be looking the same. This is more the kind of, frontline, the food and beverage employees, the custodial employees, the ops and attractions employees, that it's going to make a big difference to their lives.
Yeah. And then also everyone can paint their nails any color so long as it's one color, which is great. In the cast handbook that was shared with all of these new guidelines in it, there is a photo of a Haunted Mansion butler wearing hoop earrings and black fingernail polish, and he just looks like he's living his best life.
When I was a Universal employee and I was going through my goth phase, I used to paint my fingernails black on my off days, and it'd be nice to not have to take that off.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going through an emo phase again, My Chemical Romance canceled their tour again, postponed it for next year. If you want to be sad about it, paint your nails black and go to work. But this is all a big kind of demonstration of the inclusion key, which, if you don't know what that means, Disney and its cast operates under a kind of tenet of things, mantras, called the four keys. Now it's five keys. Mm-hmm. Inclusion has been added to the heart of the four keys, with safety and courtesy coming first, but inclusion coming before show and efficiency. And this has been demonstrated in other ways, like creating adaptive Halloween costumes for kids in wheelchairs on Shop Disney, the retheming of Splash Mountain, the updates coming to Jungle Cruise. All of those are kind of applied works of this inclusion key.
Mm-hmm. And, let's be frank, if we lived in a just world, inclusion would have been part of courtesy all along.
Right.
We wouldn't, in an ideal world, we wouldn't have to call out and make a separate key for it. But I'm glad they've put it right in the middle. And I think that's right in the heart of everything is right where it belongs.
I also think it's very, it says a lot that they put it before show, because before a lot of these things that they are allowing now would be called down for bad show in
exactly
the past.
Exactly. Yeah. and to say that there's more important than maintaining whatever the illusion is treating people with decency and respect and making them feel like they belong. I think that's a bold statement, and I'm personally on board.
And honestly, I can't imagine what the cast, as far as like morale around this whole thing, must feel. Because I know when I was a cast member, I didn't have this. I got this after I left the company. But I have a tattoo on the back of my arm that would be covered if I wore sleeves that came down to my elbow, but I would have to pull them down a lot. And my hair at the time was white blonde. Yeah. And I would have leaders come in and be like, hair's looking a little purple today. Do you use a lot of toner? I'd be like, yeah, sorry. But
it will be so nice when those people can spend their time doing something productive that actually improves the guest experience instead of micromanaging people who are making barely above minimum wage.
Exactly.
Unfortunately, there might be some managers at Disney who have built their whole careers over this and will not really know what to do anymore when they can't fuss at people over the length of their hair or whether they've got an extra earring.
The Disney look
that
police.
That would be so sad. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
There have been some other changes globally, too, over at Tokyo Disney Resort. They recently changed their greeting announcement when the park first opens from ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, to hello, everyone, mm-hmm. As to not call attention to specific genders. And I think that's neat because why not just have that the whole time? They haven't said if that will be coming to the domestic parks or not, but that's just one of the global initiatives.
I'm sorry, but before I can really judge whether that's an improvement or not, I'm going to have to hear you pronounce that in Japanese.
That sounds hard.
We'll save that for next week.
I have no idea how you even... I know some numbers in Japanese, but that's like the extent of it. Yeah. But I think all of these changes, it really puts the power behind "to all who come to this happy place, welcome" from Walt's speech. It didn't really mean that when he originally said it, but I think it adds some new power to it now.
So that is the end of our news, but I know I teased earlier that I had a little bit more news that I would talk about.
And yeah,
let's file this 100% under the rumor mill.
Ooh,
until I can get it officially confirmed as of when we're recording this, about 9:45 p.m. on Sunday the 18th. This is not in any way official, but someone shared with me something that was shared with them from guest services at one of the major Californian theme parks, saying that they are imminently going to be allowing people from outside the state of California to make purchases and attend the parks if they have either a completed COVID vaccination record or a negative COVID test from within 72 hours.
Oh, so like the global travel rules then.
Yes. I haven't gotten this confirmed with the state of California or any of the park's official PR, but take it for what you will. I think it's coming, and I think it's coming sooner than we thought.
I want to go to Avengers Campus so bad.
Yeah. I'm personally I'm going to let the initial rush go past,
right?
Because I don't want to be there on opening day of anything right now.
No way.
But I'm gonna go start shopping for flights and hotel rooms in July for myself.
Yeah, book them while they're cheap now.
Yeah,
save yourself.
It's only gonna go up. It's only gonna go up. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's so exciting. Yeah.
So fingers crossed that it's more than just another rumor. But I think we're going to see some official announcements pretty soon. So.
And I was looking at buying new luggage today. It's a sign.
It is a sign. Go ahead and get that cruise line luggage. From the bottom.
Let me just go get my personal shopper to grab that for me really quick.
Oh, is that what I'm called now? Anytime, but you're paying the shipping.
Ah, that's not even fair. It would cost so much. Before we go, I do have some listener thank yous this week. My guilt trip last week worked on you. Big thank yous to Ryan Graves and Alina Mador. Thank you so much. And if you want to be on that list of thank yous, you can join the club or VIP levels of the Attractions Magazine subscription service, which is 4 tiers: club, VIP, basic, or digital, if you prefer to read things on a screen.
And if you like screens, you want to use your screen to head on over to Apple Podcasts, please rate us with 5 stars, because darn it, we deserve it. And leave a review saying nice things about us. And that is going to help share us with the rest of the world, get more people listening to this podcast.
Yeah.
And if they enjoy this podcast so much, Brittany, they can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @skaberski or at the UG series. And you can, as always, pick up a copy of the unofficial guides at theunofficialguides.com. But Brittany, more importantly, where can they find you and attractions?
They can find me at Brittany Tuttle. That's BRITTANITUTTLE. Yes, it's spelled funny on Twitter and Instagram, as well as every day at attractionsmagazine.com, at attractions on Twitter, at attractionsmagazine on Instagram, and youtube.com/attractionsmagazine, where you're watching this if you are here for the live show. And until next week, I hope you guys stay safe, wear your mask, get vaccinated if you haven't already, and we'll see you next time.
Bye.